Welcome to the 4SC Annual Results 2013 conference call on the 26th of March 2014. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Johan Olowski. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. My name is Johan Olowski. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results for the full year 2013. With me on the phone today are Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC, Bernd Hensch, CDO, and for the later Q&A session, Daniel Fitt, our CSO and designated CDO. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates relating to our plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I turn the call over to Enno.
Yeah. Thank you, Johan, and welcome everyone to our full year results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call today once again. Our plan is to spend the next roughly 27 or 25 minutes providing you with an update on 4SC's performance in 2013. I will start with a brief overview of our operational and financial highlights before turning to Bernd for an update on Resminostat. I will then provide an update on our pipeline discovery subsidiary and touch on the key financial figures for 2013, of course. We will finish with a summary of anticipated news flow and outlook before opening the line for your questions. Coming to the operational overview. Operationally, 2013 was a very dynamic year for 4SC, and we reviewed and optimized our development strategy. We refocused our product pipeline, and we made targeted changes to our corporate and staffing structures in order to concentrate on our main value driver, Resminostat. Resminostat is now at the heart of this refocused strategy, and we remain committed to advancing this innovative product into late-stage clinical trials for advanced liver cancer. 4SC Discovery, our 100% subsidiary devoted to early-stage research and its commercialization, had a great year. Five new deals were signed, and although only in its second year, this business generated a positive cash flow in 2013. The expansion of 4SC Discovery also was the key factor for a marked increase in our group sales, which improved by 13% to 4.9 million euros in 2013. Also on the group financial level, the restructuring that took place during 2013 led to significant cost savings in R&D and in administration. In total, we reported a smaller overall net loss in 2013 compared to 2012. 4SC ended the year with 4.9 million euros in cash equivalents, and short-term investments. After the reporting period, we entered into a convertible note agreement with Yorkville Advisors. This provides us with a flexible financing option of up to 15 million euros until the end of 2016 and strengthens our financial position as we prepare for the planned late-stage clinical development of Resminostat in advanced liver cancer. At the end of this month, we will also be making some changes at the senior management level. Dr. Bernd Hensch, currently responsible for clinical development, will be leaving his permanent role following the expiration of his contract. We thank Bernd for his tremendous contribution to the development of 4SC's drug development effort and most notably to the development of Resminostat. His expertise is highly valued, valued, and we will continue to benefit from his role as a consultant for CIG. Going forward, the Rusminostat program will be led by our CSO, or Chief Scientific Officer, and founding management board member, Dr. Daniel Fitt. He will be supported by Dr. Samson Fung, and Dr. Fung is an oncologist and has gained many years of experience in the clinical development of cancer drugs at a series of biotech and pharmaceutical companies. Dr. Fung has been supporting 4C as a consultant since early February of this year, and I'm convinced that his extensive experience in the design and the execution of late-stage clinical trials has already benefited our projects and will clearly do so going forward. With that brief introduction, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Bernd to spend a few moments talking you through the progress we have made with Rusminostat in 2013 and our future plans for this flagship product. Bernd?
Thank you, Enno, and hello to everybody on the call. As you may remember, Rusminostat is an oral inhibitor of histone deacetylases, or HDAC, and these are enzymes that modulate a variety of cellular processes involving gene expression, DNA repair, DNA replication, and cell signaling. However, epigenetic modifications caused by enhanced activity of these type of enzymes can lead to the reprogramming of cells and has quite dramatic consequences that support processes such as tumor progression, development of drug tolerance, or resistance to existing cancer therapies. And by blocking these HDAC enzymes, we hope to overcome such drug resistances issues and improve survival outcome for patients. To that end, we have already demonstrated promising clinical activity for Rusminostat in a number of different cancer types, including hematological cancers such as Hodgkin's lymphoma, but also solid tumors such as colorectal cancer. In the near term, our main focus is on the development of Rusminostat for the treatment of patients with advanced liver cancer, or more precisely, hepatocellular carcinoma, and here in combination with the current standard of care, which is sorafenib or Nexavar. We are happy to announce that during 2013, we made quite good progress in identifying a new potentially predictive biomarker for Rusminostat called zinc finger protein 64, or ZFP64. We analyzed data from prior phase 2 studies with Rusminostat in patients with liver cancer and Hodgkin's lymphoma, and there we showed that patients exhibiting elevated levels of this particular biomarker, ZFP64, in their blood cells before starting treatment had, on average, a doubling of overall survival as a consequence. This important finding was presented at key medical conferences ECHO and ILCA in the U.S. and Europe in 2013. The finding is of even higher also commercial potential, as we could show in these phase 2 trials that two-thirds of all patients in both trials, the HCC and the Hodgkin's trial, had elevated levels of ZFP64, thus representing a significant potentially eligible patient population that might benefit from Rusminostat when this biomarker is actually applied for stratification of patients. If these data can be verified, and this is certainly one of our goals, this will be an important step towards developing this compound as a truly personalized therapy option for the treatment of advanced liver cancer. I would like to spend a few moments just reminding you of the opportunity in liver cancer for Rusminostat. Liver cancer is actually the fifth most common cancer worldwide and the third leading cause of cancer-related mortality worldwide. Despite this high unmet need, there is currently only one product approved as a first-line therapy, which is sorafenib or Nexavar from Bayer and Amgen, formerly Onyx. Based on the clinical data set generated so far by 4C, we are confident that Rusminostat represents a novel approach to tackling this disease, in particular by fighting the buildup of resistances to sorafenib treatment. As a reminder, we have reported previously that patients receiving a Rusminostat plus sorafenib combination in second-line treatment had a median overall survival of 8.1 months in our phase 2 shelter trial. By comparison, the life expectancy of liver cancer patients that exhibit tumor progression during first-line treatment with sorafenib is roughly only 5.2 months, according to previously published data. Here, the SHARP trial has to be called specifically. We believe that this represents a clinically meaningful improvement for patients of approximately almost 3 months. Our top priority now lies in the preparation of the next development step, focusing resminostat on first-line liver cancer treatment in order to advance the product closer towards market approval. Following initial discussions with regulators, with potential pharma players and key opinion leaders, we are now focused on designing a randomized phase 2 study that will test resminostat in combination with sorafenib versus sorafenib plus placebo in patients with advanced liver cancer, which, if successful, as we hope, shall then be followed by a phase 3 pivotal trial in the next step. The results from this first-line randomized controlled phase 2 study are intended to provide important information on the efficacy profiling of resminostat in combination with sorafenib, and also will enable the validation of the biomarker ZFP64 to possibly then utilize this in further design of a phase 3 study. In terms of logistics, the production process for the necessary clinical study materials was further optimized during last year, and quantities were actually manufactured as required. Following this, optimization work started on the active ingredient formulation for tablet production. We intend to discuss our planned clinical program with the regulators in the coming months in order to gain the appropriate approvals to start this study as soon as possible in the Western world. On a personal note, I would also like to thank my colleagues here at 4C and all the collaborators that I have been able to meet over the last almost 6 years, since, as Anna already mentioned, I'm going to leave the company at the end of this month, so basically on Monday afternoon. And I will stay in touch with 4SC, and I will support them in a consultancy function further, focusing certainly on resminostat to bring this product, as I strongly believe in it, into the next development step and hopefully to the patients in the future. So again, I would like to thank everybody here at 4SC, my colleagues and collaborators in particular, but also all of you out there that actually collaborated with us quite nicely. Thank you very much. And with this, I would like to turn the call over to Enno to provide you with more details on the financing plans for resminostat, for the study to come, review the rest of the pipeline, and provide an update on the outlook for 4SC. Enno?
Yeah, thank you, Bernd, and also thank you once again for your personal commitment during the past years at 4C, which is highly appreciated. In conjunction with the clinical and regulatory activities on resminostat, we are simultaneously working on to secure reliable funding for the planned first-line phase 2 study in advanced liver cancer patients. We stepped up meetings with potential regional and global partners and investors in the reporting year, and we have broadened the financing options under consideration as we speak. Our primary goal in terms of financing is to secure funding for the next phase 2 trial in the HCC first-line therapy scenario as just described by Bernd. While first-line treatment of liver cancer is our primary focus, resminostat has much broader potential and has shown promise in other cancer types and other stages as well. In this respect, our partner in Japan, Yakult Honsha, started a phase 1-2 trial in first-line advanced liver cancer in May, and also a phase 1-2 trial with resminostat in patients with non-small cell lung cancer in July 2013. We also announced positive phase 1 results from the so-called SHORE trial, which with resminostat in combination therapy with FOLFIRI chemotherapy in patients with advanced colorectal cancer, or CRC, at the ASCO conference in June 2013. At all dosage levels administered, resminostat proved to be safe and also well-tolerated and showed first encouraging signals of clinical efficacy. The application of resminostat as a second-line therapy in advanced liver cancer remains an attractive further development option for the company in the future. Last but not least, we significantly enhanced the patent protection for risk minister during 2013 quite successfully. After the patent was granted in Europe, we now have a composition of matter patent protection for our lead compound in all major global markets, including China, Europe, India, Japan, Russia, South Korea, and of course the US. In addition to risminostat, we are also continuing our efforts on the development of two novel cancer compounds called 4C22 and 4C25. These are both in ongoing phase 1 clinical trials in hematological tumors and solid tumors, and will be announcing data pretty soon concerning 4C22 or later this year with regard to 4C25. We have seen to date, in particular in the open-label trial with 4C22, some very promising initial signals of clinical efficacy and anti-tumor activity, and are very much looking forward to these results. Finally, our 4C discovery business continued to deliver during the year and kicked off five new agreements, including a joint research collaboration with the BioNTech for the identification and optimization of new small molecule anti-cancer compounds, a license option agreement with Leo Pharma from Denmark for the research and development of new treatments for psoriasis, a joint research project in the field of neurological disorders with the Belgian pharma company UCB and together with our venture partner Crelox, and leveraging the same I2C technology platform of 4C and Crelox in agreement with Acurus to research new compounds for the treatment or to treat infection diseases. Lastly, we transferred patent rights for a promising anti-inflammatory drug for eye disease to the young Austrian biotechnology company Panoptis Pharma, located in Vienna. Before I run through the financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will discuss here refer to group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded these numbers for simplicity. Full details of the group's figures, including the individual reporting segments, discovery and collaborative business, as well as the segment development, can be found in the annual report, which is available on our website as of today. Overall, we are very pleased with the financial performance during the reporting year. So, starting with the total revenues were up 13% in the full year to 4.9 million euros from 4.4 million euros in 2012. This increase in revenue was mainly driven by the discovery and collaborative business, which included the agreements with the BioNTech and also with Leo Pharma. In addition, we recognized revenue from cost allocations to 4C's cooperation partners in connection with the manufacturing process for risminostat's active ingredient for clinical trials. Moving on to our operating expenses, these include the cost of sales, distribution costs, research and development costs, and administration costs for the group. Year-on-year, operating expenses fell also 13% to 15.5 million euros from 17.7 million euros in the prior year. Total costs for the full year were impacted by a number of extraordinary items in connection with refocusing our R&D strategy in Q2 2013, totaling just under 1 million euro. As a result of the increase in revenues and cost control measures, operating loss, or EBIT respectively, for the full year narrowed by 21% to 10.6 million euros from an operating loss of 13.4 million euros in the prior year. Adjusted for one-off extraordinary factors in connection with the adjustment of the development strategy and the restructuring, the EBIT improved by as much as 28%. Net loss was reduced by 21% to 10.5 million euros. Earnings per share improved by 28% to minus 0.21 euro per share in 2013 from minus 0.29 euros in 2012. This was related to the effects I just outlined and an increase in the underlying average number of shares as a result of the capital increase conducted in summer 2012. In terms of our balance sheet, we had cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments totaling 4.9 million euros as at 31st of December 2013, with an average monthly operating cash outflow for the 12 months of 2013 of roughly 600,000 euros. Compared to an operating cash flow of 1.26 million euros for 2012 per month. As I mentioned earlier, we are working tirelessly in securing long-term financing for our projects and the company as a whole. After the reporting period in February of this year, we achieved an important milestone in this regard, securing a funding line of up to 15 million euros convertible notes through the U.S. investor Yorkville, whom we know quite well since a long time. So what can you expect from 4C in the year ahead? We remain committed to our new focused R&D strategy and will concentrate primarily on the development of resminostat for HCC. The preparations for a phase 2 study are advancing, and we will be discussing our plans for the study with regulators in the coming months in order to gain necessary approvals to start this respective study. We also expect results from our partner Yakult's phase 1 study with resminostat in solid tumors in Japan to be coming very soon, and trials with our earlier stage compounds are still ongoing. We are expecting to have data from phase 1 TOPAZ dose escalation study with 4C22 in patients with hematological tumors in the second quarter, so actually rather soon, and data from the phase 1 Aegis trial with our cell division blocker 4C25 in patients with solid tumors are expected somewhat later, most likely in the third quarter of 2014. For our lead anti-inflammation compound, vidofludimus, we remain focused on finding suitable external project partners in order to fund and conduct the planned phase 2b trial in Crohn's disease. Discussions are ongoing. Following recent success, our 4C Discovery GmbH business will continue to seek early-stage partnering deals for the development and commercialization of its own research programs, plus additional research and service collaborations with pharma and biotech companies. Based on the strong performance of 4C Discovery GmbH in 2013, we expect the subsidiary to further contribute to the overall financing of 4C Group and for itself to achieve at least a balanced operating cash flow in 2014. Coming to the financial outlook, as for the group, for the 4C Group, based on current revenue and expense planning and the convertible note agreement signed in February 2014, we expect the current funds to suffice to fund 4C's activities for the next 12 months and beyond. This estimate does not include the launch of additional clinical trials, particularly the phase two trial in HCC with resminostat currently being under preparation. This forecast is based on the assumption that the average monthly operating cash burn rate in 2014 will be reduced to approximately around about 0.4 million euro per month. According to the current planning, research and development costs for 4C in 2014 should be much lower than in the previous year, additional clinical trials not yet included. The consolidated net loss for 2014 should improve further year on year given the cost reductions in human resources resulting from the restructuring completed in 2013 and the expected contributions by 4C Discovery's positive activities to our earnings. Once we kick off the planned study program with resminostat in the indication of liver cancer, development costs can be anticipated to rise again sharply, which would in return cause the cash burn rate and operating loss to increase once again. We would then adjust our guidance at that point in time accordingly. As discussed, we intend to secure further financing for the phase 2 trial of resminostat and will only start the trial once this is in place. Said that, we continue to drive the preparatory work for this clinical trial program intensively as we speak. So on the whole, based on an attractive, broad, yet focused clinical pipeline and backed by a growing discovery business, we believe that 4C is well positioned heading into 2014. We are excited about the prospects for our key value driver, resminostat, and are working hard towards realizing our vision of resminostat becoming the first licensed drug for 4SC. With that, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in 4SC, and we are now open for your questions. Operator, I hand over back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order that they are received. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. The first question comes from Christian Glennie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I wonder if you could just provide a bit more detail in terms of the order of events around talking to regulators about the study design for resminostat, and particularly what the initial meetings may provide you, because clearly there may be a situation in which the initial feedback from the regulators obviously has a bearing in terms of partnering and or financing strategy.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I think this question is something that Bernd can clearly answer, and I would hand that over to Bernd.
Yeah, I mean, what we do expect from a scientific advice or protocol assistance is certainly to get a buy-in from the authorities on the final setup of that first-line study. As we said, it will compare the gold standard sorafenib in a placebo-controlled fashion against the combination of resminostat and sorafenib, and we certainly would like to discuss the statistical readouts of that trial with the authorities, and certainly, which is of high importance to us, how the analysis of the potential predictive biomarkers at FP64 can be integrated into that study so that the readout in terms of clinical efficacy, but also potential stratification opportunities with that FP64, both can be readouts out of that study, and that can be translated into a phase 3 program afterwards. So these will be the two crucial issues that we're going to discuss with authorities. What will be the clinical efficacy readout, and how can the analysis of the biomarker be included to get a readout out of the study that permits the use of that biomarkers in a pivotal trial program. And we assume that scientific advice activity will take place towards, let's say, the later part of this year to then, after that, have a good idea of how that study has to be set up.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. And then I wonder if you or Enno could sort of provide a bit more color in terms of and how you would characterize the stage of the discussions that are ongoing around resminostat.
Yeah, I mean, as described previously and also in the report and stated here, so we are in interaction with the regional partners and also global partners with regards to partnering this asset. However, it's clear that we want to conduct the trial, as Bernd just described, also answering some of the remaining questions that remained after the phase 2 trial that we had so far in HCC. And so we are in close contact with these companies. However, we want to set up this trial and run this under the control of 4C.
Okay, thank you. And then just on in terms of 4SC202, the data that will be coming out in the second quarter, maybe a bit more detail there in terms of the kind of data number of patients that might be in that study at the end, and the kind of data we should be expecting.
Well, there's not too much guidance we can give you here at this point. Otherwise, we would have published that already. So, I mean, it's a typical phase 1 trial, I would say, with regard to size and trial design. And obviously, the major objective is really to find out the classical criteria like tolerability, tox, and dose escalation.
Bernd, maybe you want to add something to that, but that's pretty much everything we can say right now.
Well, truly, the primary objective is safety, and what we can so far say clearly is that the drug is very well tolerated. That's clear to say, and that is certainly part of that what we're going to publish in more detail then, certainly. But it's a very well tolerated drug. What we also can say is that we see clear signs of objective responses. However, that also will be part of the final presentation, but we do have a good picture that we have reached levels with the drug that can be pushed forward into phase two development program.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Marietta Miemiet. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions, please, if I may. The first question is, again, coming back to 202 and 205. You're going to report the phase one data pretty soon. So assuming that one or both studies really yield encouraging results, how should we think about the next steps for these compounds? I mean, how much more clinical work would you be able to do in-house within the scope of the 0.4 million euros monthly cash use, or how soon would you, in theory, be willing to partner these compounds? The second question, just on resminostat, I was just wondering if there are any further details you could share with us on the pivotal trial design, and particularly, how should we actually think about the phase two data from the first part of the trial? Do you expect to actually do a full analysis of the data and use it for partnering discussions and also release it into the public domain? Or is the phase two data going to be made available to the DSMB only? And my final question is just on 2014 revenues. How much of the 2013 revenues is non-recurring? Just to give us a feel, when you announce 4SC discovery deals, to what extent they're incremental or effectively replacing revenue from older projects that have ended? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Marietta, and welcome on the call again. It's always a pleasure to have you here. So I'll take your question with regard to 4C2225 and also with regard to revenue, and we'll hand over the resminostat question then later on to Bernd concerning the trial design. So with regard to 4C22, currently our intention is to really analyze in detail and wrap up the phase one data that we will achieve here very soon. And based on that, forming our ideas, actually we're doing this already, forming our ideas what might be the next logical steps with regard to clinical development in phase two. So selecting or pre-selecting indications, for instance, predefining a study design and all these things. However, as I described during the call so far, the current focus of 4C is really about focusing 4C on resminostat and the further development in HCC. So we will really focus all our efforts and also our financial capacities on this asset. In consequence, this means that we intend to partner 4C202 after having completed the phase one and wrapped up that data. So that's the guidance that we want to give here. With regards to the revenue, I mean, as described, most of the revenues in 2013 have been generated out of the discovery activities, which was quite a success. And some of them came from upfront payments, like 2.5 million euros, for instance, that we received in cash from BioNTech. However, this was recognized as revenue still in 2012 when the contract was signed. And also for Leo, where we received an upfront payment of 1 million euro, then this is revenues or cash inflow that is not kind of a continuous level based on scientific collaboration, but it is event driven. And of course, it will be our goal to either achieve further milestones within these collaborations or to strike additional milestones of similar kind, to strike similar partnerships of similar kind. However, it is always a challenge to give precise guidance on when these deals might finally come and how the commercial terms might look like at the end of the day. And this is why
we will have or we will try to achieve a combination of revenues from ongoing scientific collaboration on the one hand side, plus striking additional deals, then being in a similar ballpark to what we have seen this year or what we have seen 2013.
Thank you very much, Anil.
Bernd, do you want to take over?
Yeah, in terms of our planned looking forward development with resminostat, as you recall, we did plan for first-line development an adaptive trial design, a phase 2-3 design, which after intense discussions internally and externally turns out to be quite complex in its setup, specifically when you would like to get a nice clinical efficacy readout in addition with a parallel validation of our potential biomarker ZFP64 and, if possible, a stratification or enrichment strategy which would actually commence past the interim analysis. Furthermore, at the interim analysis, as you rightly say, there would be some limited information coming from a data monitoring board that would basically be recommendations how the study can be continued into the phase 3, but that would be a limited data set which would only have some limited utility for a business development process at this point in time. Therefore, what we currently rather consider, and as I explained, is performing a phase 2 selectively and not in conjunction with a phase 3, but rather do it subsequently, do a phase 2 first, really address in full fledge the questions needed to be answered. That includes the validation of the biomarker, and with that knowledge then clearly specify and very precisely put down the phase 3 design, including the biomarker, if it holds it, if it can be validated in the phase 2, and then do a standalone phase 3 for a clear approval strategy. Having said that, it is also clear that if the biomarker ZFP64 can be validated in the phase 2 that we would like to do first, and if the clinical overall survival benefit is actually larger in the ZFP64 high population as we would anticipate right now, that certainly can have quite a dramatic impact on the statistical assumptions and on the size of the then to be followed phase 3 trial. So altogether, we would actually currently do not think that this type of change in strategy will dramatically change the timelines, but rather in a positive sense, if the biomarker can be positively validated in the first place, can rather have a very strong positive impact on the phase 3 design. That is certainly has to be shown and is not yet clear, but we believe that also at the end of that phase 2, we will have actually full data access, a full clear picture of that from a randomized phase 2 trial with correct controls implemented and the validation of the biomarker that in our view would enable us to really strike a possible partnering deal at this point in time rather than trying that with data from an interim analysis from an adaptive phase 2-3 which would only have limited value possibly in the eyes of potential partners. So the adaptive strategy in our view solve some of the open questions which there are, and secondly, possibly provides a better chance of achieving a partnering activity once these data get fully available after the end of the phase 2.
We have a follow-up question from Christian Glennie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just a point of clarification, if I may, in terms of the discovery business and being operational cash flow positive for the year. At what level is that assessment taken? Is that because I'm just looking at the you know the segment reporting in the annual report, and the overall it looks like there's an overall loss. But for example, if you just take off the R&D cost, then it would be a positive cash flow. Just interest in that level of result.
Yeah, Christian, nice to have you on the call again, so to say.
The tricky thing in revenue recognition or in describing this is always that you have a difference between cash and revenue recognition. So, for instance, the Leo upfront payment of 1 million euro had to be deferred over a longer period. So we had the cash in of the 4 million early last year, and the revenue will still be recognized also in 2014, for instance. So clearly, and this is why we are not giving not so much weight to the to turning a discovery at first stage into a profitable company based on the P&L statement. For us, it's more important to secure that it is really cash flow neutral, at least taking care of itself, or even beyond that, so that it is cash flow positive. That would be the best, of course, and then having also an internal financing effect or financial contribution to the overall financing of 4C Group. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Yeah, I was just curious on that point. Yeah. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. The next question comes from Mark Pospilovic. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. Maybe on one on Resminostat, I think a simple question, at least just qualitatively, can you say what you see as the key next steps that maybe potential partners or investors are waiting for and when you might expect to achieve those? And then maybe another one on 4C Discovery, just seeing the contribution of that division, is there any plans or possibility to expand or accelerate the discovery activities?
Yeah, Mark, thank you for your two questions. And with regard to expectations of Resminostat also from the investors community, I think it's rather clear that we give a clear answer, first of all, on the guidance and the final strategy on how the clinical trial is going to look like. This is something, as Bernd just described, we had a little adjustment here in our development strategy, I think, which is clearly to the benefit of 4C and its potential partners. Also, cost-wise, this will look different to what we anticipated before, different in a positive meaning. And I mean, the other question that clearly is being expected is having secured the financing of such clinical trials so that 4C is really able to kick it off, not only from an operational standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint. This is something we are working on currently, and we are having different pathways that we are elaborating on here right now, and we will hope to give that answer within the next month, a few months to come. With regard to the discovery, as I mentioned before, this is not only continuous revenue out of scientific collaborations, but it's also project-driven business, and here our BD efforts are ongoing. We are having different talks here. However, we are careful about giving guidance here because you know it's always hard to estimate these events. Of course, it's our idea to leverage the discovery activities on the one hand side. On the other hand, we don't want to increase the overall risk of the 4C group too much by rapidly growing the discovery and not then being able to follow up with new projects. So this line that we have to walk carefully, and we do that in close coordination with the BD and the management team of the discovery, trying to have a nice path of growth, which keeps control of the downside risk.
All right, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. Then I think we can close this call for today. So in the name of the full management team and of all 4SC employees, we would like to thank all external supporters of 4SC staying with us in 2013 and hopefully also in the years to come. We are looking forward to a very exciting year with some major objectives ahead of us, which we will clearly tackle. And we will keep you posted during the next conference calls and with the press releases of which you will hopefully see quite a lot in the months to come. So in that context, thank you very much and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
This concludes the 4SC Annual Results 2013 conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.